Believe it or not, I was once a fifth grade teacher. my students were very good, and they excelled at creativity and joy. On the academic side of things, I don't know how great they were. Hopefully, they turned out all right. But fifth grade, 2 years, it was actual school. but I learned a lot teaching. I learned how much work it was. I learned, I remember just being so exhausted in the classroom, and you're just expending energy mentally and physically, and then you go home, and your work is not done. You got papers to grade, tests and lesson plans to prep for, and you have a lot of work outside of the classroom. And there's a lot of teachers here this morning, a lot of people in education, whether in your profession, whether at an academic place or a school, university, or even right here at church, a lot of you teach. And I want to say thank you. And I know how much work it is. I know how many early mornings or late nights or expending the energy, but I want to say it's worth it. It is worth it that you teach, and you teach your subject, and you insert the gospel into what you are teaching. And it is worth it, and we need good teachers. And so don't give up. It's hard. It's difficult. I know I was there, but continue on. And I just want to say thank you for all of you that teach on this morning. We're going to look at a couple of things today. The first thing we're going to look at is, I'm going to just give you my outline here. We're going to look at the classroom. We're going to look at a test, and we're going to look at an answer with the kind of teaching theme here. And today we're going to look at the good teacher. We've been asking the question, who do you say that Jesus is? And this is from Mark chapter 10, and I invite you to turn there, Mark chapter 10. If you do not have a Bible, I would encourage you to look in the pew in front of you. There will be a Bible there. If it's a red hardback Bible, it's page 42. It's the second half of the book. And if it's a softcover Bible, it's page 846. 846 in a softcover. The hardback Bible is page 42. This is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And before we read it, this lesson has tremendous importance for all of us here. And the reason why it does is because what you value in life will directly affect your present life here on earth, but it will also directly affect your eternal life after this life. And this is a very important lesson that the greatest teacher of all time, the master teacher, teaches. So if you would follow me, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and it says this, "And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth.' And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, 'Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, 'Then who can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God.' And Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left everything and followed you.' Jesus said, 'Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." So let's take a look here at the classroom. What are we talking about here? Let's look at the teacher first here. In verse 17, it says that a man came up to Jesus and he gave him this title. Right up there in verse 17, and it says here, good teacher. Of the 90 times that Jesus is directly addressed, 60 of those times is called teacher. It's how the crowds addressed him. It's what the title that the disciples many times referred to him as. And in fact, Jesus himself used this title. In John 13:13, Jesus said this, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I." Jesus never entered a classroom as we know a classroom. He never had an educational degree as we understand it to be. But in fact, the whole world, the entire world, is Jesus' classroom. And no person, no teacher, as great as they are, has ever done anything amazing and did what Jesus has done. Jesus is truly the greatest teacher. He is the master teacher. And he gives us a lesson. So that's who we're talking about here. And we've been talking about who Jesus is and who you say he is. And to this man that came up to Jesus, he was a good teacher. And that is true. Jesus is a good teacher. But he is so much more than that. And we'll get to that and who Jesus is a little bit in the text. Secondly, I want us to see the student. Now again, this is in verse 17 here. And it says a man. But before that, there's three groups of students that Jesus will address here in this text. And this is the first group, or the first person. And in verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him. And this man, in our value system of our world, he had everything. He had it all. This man was rich, he was a ruler, and he was young. Now the text here, if you notice, it just says a man. And you say, well, where do we find that he's rich and he's a ruler and he's young? In verse 22, it says that he had great possessions. In the other gospel accounts of Matthew and Luke, it tells us here that in Matthew 19:20 that he was young. In Luke 18:18, it tells us that he was a ruler. So again, this guy had everything. He had it all. So he had his youth. He had he was a ruler. He had influence and power, and he had great possessions. And for us as a culture, right, we would say this guy had it all. And not just that, look at his desire. Again, in verse 17, it said that he ran up to Jesus. He had great desire. He didn't walk, but he ran. And back in these days, it would be the same thing like climbing a tree. It was social faux pas, or he would be looked down upon. But this guy didn't care. He wanted to find out about eternal life, so he had great desire, and he ran to Jesus. He didn't care what people thought. Not just that, he had great character. He had respect for Jesus. Verse 17, and he knelt before him. He didn't just walk up and he knelt before him. He had respect. Not just that, but this guy went to the right person. He went to Jesus. He asked the right question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And this guy seemed like a shoo-in to inherit eternal life. He had it all. He did the right things. He asked the right question, went to the right person. He had desire. He had respect. So this is the student here that Jesus is teaching. And last of all, let's look at the lesson here. In verse 31, it's the bottom part of the screen here. And it says this. This is the last verse of the text. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And even in the wording here, in the reversal of the wording structure, it emphasizes a lesson that Jesus is teaching us. And this is the lesson, that God's truth brings great reversal to the values of this world. That God's truth brings great reversal to our value, what oftentimes we value and we hold most dear. So are you ready this morning for a lesson? Many of you are already out of school in a long time. Some of you are in school. But are you ready for a lesson this morning? Are you ready to change and to learn? God tells us to continue to learn, to continue to change in what we call progressive sanctification, day by day. And that's us becoming less like ourselves and more like Jesus Christ. And that's why Peter could write in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we all, me, myself included, first of all, we need this lesson. We need this lesson about our value system from Jesus. And so I hope that you are ready to learn this morning. But before we dive into the text a little bit further, I just want to pray and ask God to help us to learn and to listen. God, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you that you are the one who has created the all things of nature. You are the one who has power over the storms of life. We thank you for that. We thank you for your hand of sovereignty and also your hand of love toward us. And God, we pray that you would do a great work in our hearts, even in this very moment, through the power of your Spirit and through the truth of your word, that you would cause us to pay attention, not to my words, but to your words and to the lesson of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would listen and we would learn and we would change to become more like Jesus and less like us. God, we are distracted people. There's so much going on in our lives. And for many, there are many things that they would rather be doing. And maybe some are tired or whatever that may be. But God, I pray that you would cause us to pay attention to your word this morning. You quiet our hearts and our minds and help us to focus upon the lesson that the greatest teacher, your Son, Jesus, is going to teach us today. And we thank you for this. We are excited for what you will do. And I pray that you would help us to remember this lesson from your word. We ask this in Christ and his precious name. Amen. So we looked at the classroom. There's a little bit of the context here, setting it up, the teacher, the students, and the lesson. And with most things in education, there is a test. Right? We're going to see a test here. I don't like tests. I never liked tests growing up, but tests are necessary, right? So in verse 18 through 22, and the objective of Jesus here is to expose this man's heart that he valued something more than he did Jesus. And he worshiped that thing. And that's the sin of idolatry. And that's what Jesus aimed in this part of the text and what he's going to do to expose that. And he uses the law. Right? It's interesting because you think this guy comes who has it all, it's right, and he has this intention, and he's respected, all these things, and he comes to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And in one part you think that Jesus would say, well, here's an invitation. But Jesus puts a stumbling block in front of him, and he uses the law to expose his heart of idolatry. Verse 19, it says this, Jesus is saying, you know the commandments. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And Jesus uses the latter half of the commandments, the commandments that deal primarily with the relationship with you and other people. And these commandments, oftentimes, you can follow and obey, and externally, you look like you follow them. And Jesus says, well, you know these commandments. And look at what this man says, verse 21. In verse 20. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, in love, looking at him, went straight from those commandments on the latter half, and he went straight to commandment number one. And if you remember, you shall have no other gods before me. And he did this in love. You know, academic tests, they measure the quality, or they measure the qualifications, or a person's knowledge. And here Jesus tests this man, and he exposes a heart of idolatry that treasured and valued his possessions more than he did Jesus. And that's the test. And what's interesting is the test is the very answer that Jesus gives. If you remember, the question that the man asked at the beginning was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer is the test. And Jesus says, sell all and come and follow me. And in essence, what Jesus is saying here is to value me more than anything else in life, including your possessions. Value me as the greatest treasure. Surrender everything and come and follow me. And he uses the law to show his sin of idolatry in his life. And this is one of the purposes of the law. And it tells us in Romans 7:7, one purpose of the law is to show the character of God. And the second is this. Romans 7, verse 6, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" And that is one purpose of the law, is to show, to expose our sin. And that's the test. And with every test, there is a grade. And in verse 22, we see that. It says, "Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And the grade that this man got was an F. I don't know if you've ever seen an F on your paper. All right? I think I've seen one, maybe. I don't know. But this was his grade, and he could not pass this test. And his actions showed where his values were. His actions showed what he valued, his possessions, rather than Jesus Christ. And in short, or in part, he failed because he left things short. He saw Jesus as good teacher. To him, Jesus was good teacher, which Jesus is, but Jesus is so much more than just good teacher. He's not the one that just teaches about eternal life, but he is. Jesus calls himself, he is the bread of life, he is the living water, and in part, this man failed because he left it short, and who Jesus was to him was not who Jesus is revealed in the word, but it is just good teacher. And he failed, he left things short. And here's the result in verse 22 again. Disheartened, he left, sorrowful, without eternal life. Full of temporary possessions, but empty of joy, empty of eternal life. And again, the lesson that Jesus is teaching is that right now in his life, he was first. He had it all. But in eternity, he will be last because he did not have eternal life. The truth of God's word brings about a great reversal to us in our values, in our value system. So the question, or a question this morning, is what are your other gods? Commandment number one, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. What are your other gods this morning? Our hearts are so prone to worship other gods as opposed to the one true God. What is it this morning that you worship, that you value more than God? And we come to passages like this in Exodus 20. You shall not murder. I haven't done that. Pretty good. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And it's like, I'm pretty good. I keep these and, you know, I'm pretty good. And me as a pastor, man, I pray every day, I do good works, I read my Bible, and you come to church and you tithe and you give to the poor and you help with social justice and you do all these things and I do all these things, and oftentimes we can easily get in the mindset like this, man, I'm pretty good. And our understanding of good is often wrong, like this man here. And then you get to commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. And the law, what the law showed this man back then is what the law shows us this morning. And that is our sin. And oftentimes that is the sin of idolatry. And so what false god, what other god is the law of God showing us this morning? Even if they're good, God-ordained things, what is the law of God showing in your heart? And this is important because if you do not sell all, just like Jesus told this man, if you do not value Jesus as the greatest treasure, then just like this man in this text, you cannot follow Jesus and you cannot have eternal life. It's very clear here the pattern that Jesus spoke. So here's the therefore, here's the so what. Identify your idols this morning. You've got to identify them. And how do you do that? Well, one way is you follow the trail of your time, and your money, and your affection. So outside of all of the God-ordained responsibilities that God has given you, what do you spend your time on? How much time do you spend on that thing? Where do you spend your money? Again, outside of the God-given responsibility, what do you spend your money on? Or the affection of your heart. What is the affection of your heart placed upon? If you follow the trail of those things, it will easily lead you, and myself included, first and foremost, to our idols. And we have to identify what they are. And after that, this is what God tells us to do. 1 Corinthians 10:14, to flee from idolatry. 1 John 5:21, to keep from idolatry. And Colossians 3:5, to put idolatry to death. What you value and what you treasure is so important because it is directly tied to your present life right now, but also to your eternal life. So that's the test. And finally, after the man failed the test, let's look at the answer that Jesus gives. Here's the answer. Oftentimes, after you take a test and you fail, then there needs to be explanation. Or, hey, here's where you went wrong, and here is the truth. And so Jesus here addresses the second group of students in this text. And this is the disciples. In verse 23, and Jesus looked around, and he said to his disciples. And again, the objective of Jesus here is to have his disciples learn. And learning, if I can give the simplest definition, is to change. To change their value system. And Jesus is giving them truth for them to change their value system. One of their the things in their mindset was that the wealthy, the rich, they had divine favor. And that they maybe had a spiritual advantage to enter the kingdom of God before everyone else. And that was part of Jesus changing their kingdom perspective and turning it upside down and saying, no, here's the truth. And the truth is in verse 23b, verses 27. And for sake of time, this is what Jesus is teaching. That man's values, man's ways, will never get you into the kingdom of God. And not only that, but it is difficult. Man's values and ways make it difficult to do so because they can easily become idols, just like this rich young ruler. Man's ways, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. And the truth is that God's way is the only possible way. And he says that later on in the text. Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible. With his riches, with his so-called spiritual advantage, with his status, with his wealth, with his exterior good works, it is impossible. But with God it is possible. And the only way to enter the kingdom of God is that God makes it possible, and it is the only way. And as it was with the rich young man, it is with us. Sell all. Value Jesus as the greatest treasure and follow him. And here again, we see the lesson of great reversal. It is not of works. A familiar verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. It is not of works. Lest any man should boast, but is the gift of God. It is faith. And it's not what we must do. Alan used to say that all the time. It's not what we must do, but it's what has been done on the cross by Jesus Christ. And it's that great reversal. We can do nothing to enter into the kingdom of God, but it is only God's way, and that is through faith. And that's what Ephesians 2:8 and 9 teaches us. So here's the result. And you got to love Peter. Peter, in verse 28, he says this. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus, we have done what this guy did not do and what you told him to do to get eternal life. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. And we do not preach a prosperity gospel here. And I pray we never will. The Bible speaks much of suffering and take up your cross to follow him and dying to yourself. But it's important that we understand the rewards that God promises and that he gives to us. And here we find an amazing reward, what you all right now are participating as a body of believers. And he says this, it is this 100-fold. That if you leave all, if you sell all, if you value Jesus as your greatest treasure, then you receive 100 times back as great as what you leave and sell. And this speaks to you, this speaks to us in our spiritual family. And oftentimes we don't see this as maybe as a reward, but all of us here sitting together in the family that Jesus has joined together is a reward. And it says this is a 100-fold reward. That's amazing. And so often we do not see and understand our gatherings as a 100-fold reward. And it speaks to maybe not necessarily the quantity of your new relationships, but the quality of them. Often, or your spiritual family relationships, they drive deeper than blood. Because blood is not what ties you together. It's not your greatest common denominator. It is Jesus Christ that is your greatest common denominator. If you are a believer in here and you get to participate in that, that is an amazing reward. When you come and you gather every week, do you participate and experience this great reward, this 100-fold reward, or do you leave isolated and alone, or whatever that is? There's a great reward that you get to embrace and experience every week as you gather through the body of Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. That's exciting. And it's also convicting. So in closing, to those of you who are spiritually dead, as Ephesians talks about, you are dead in your sins. You do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like this man, his riches were his idol, his obstacle to selling all and following Jesus and inheriting eternal life. What is your false god this morning? What is your idol? What is your obstacle that is keeping you from inheriting eternal life? Maybe like this man, it's riches. It's possessions. Maybe like other things, it's a job. Maybe it's a responsibility. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's social justice. Maybe it's social status online and your experiences. Maybe it's entertainment. What is the obstacle that you value more than Jesus and is keeping you from entering eternal life? There's only one way, and that is the way that God makes possible. It is receiving the gift of God of faith. It is calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 10. It is believing in him for the salvation of your souls and everything that he says he is and everything that he says he has done. John 3:16. This rich young ruler left things short. That Jesus was just a good teacher, teaching about salvation, that he was not the bread of life, he was not eternal life. I don't like math at all, so I was asking my wife what are some easy math problems and all that, so I said, you know, I'll just give a general example here. If you have a math problem that has multiple parts, all right, I think maybe like algebra, and the correct answer is to solve for that problem, and you do half of that problem right, it's exactly right, but you leave it short and you do not finish it, it may be half right, but in total, it's wrong. And it's just like this rich young ruler. I don't want to say half right or whatever, but he had some things right, but he left it short. And Jesus to him was not who the Word revealed Jesus to be. He was just a good teacher. Don't leave it short this morning. 1 Corinthians 6:2 says this, that today, not tomorrow, not the next day, but today is the day of salvation. So call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Believe and receive this gift of faith. Today is the day. Do not leave this short. Your eternal life depends upon this, how you answer this question. This question that we have been asking these last few weeks, who do you say that Jesus is? Don't be a fool like the rich young ruler. To those of you who are born again, those of you who are part of this reward, this 100-fold of new relationships in Jesus Christ, do you value eternal treasure? As it talks about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, do you value those things? Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you value eternal treasure? Do you value and place a value upon your spiritual new family here? And this is what God tells us in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, and not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's the therefore. Here's the so what. What do we do with this? You know, I've mentioned a few times to come and sit closer, which, yeah, sure, I still want you to do, but you know what? But after, you know, in reading this text, I would rather you sit not so much closer to me, but maybe closer to each other. And some of you are actually rubbing shoulders with other people. And that's what I desire. So maybe, not maybe, I'm going to say rethink your value of where you sit. Yeah, sure, sit down here, but more importantly, what I desire more is that you sit closer to other people. Maybe people that you don't know. Maybe people who are sitting by themselves, and you sit so close to them that they cannot leave without you talking to them. Where they have to, and you have to rub shoulders, and you have to go in community, and you have to find about their lives, and you do those things. So yes, sit closer, and I would love that, but my heart's desire is that you would sit closer to someone. And like Hebrews, you would encourage one another. And again, this is just, I don't even know really what to do right now. But, you know, when you sit here, yes, you are still in community. And you can, yeah, hi, are you doing? But, you know, when you sit, I'm sorry, I'm just going to, they're my friends here. But when you sit close, you have to talk to them. And you have to engage. And you have to share things. And that's where the encouraging comes up. And how are you doing? Well, you know what? I'm going through this storm and this difficulty. And hey, here's a verse. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. Let's pray. Hey, come over to my house for dinner, whatever that looks like. So yes, I desire that you all sit closer, but more importantly, I desire that you sit closer together with other people so that you encourage one another, like Hebrews says. Sorry, camera people over there. Oftentimes it seems like it's a lot to give up things. Man, I don't want to give up. It's hard to give up those things. It's hard to give up the American dream. It's hard to give up what the world pushes and says, this is what you should value. It's difficult. I know and I get it. But here's a quote, one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite people. And I have a lot of favorite quotes and a lot of favorite people. This is Jim Elliot, who gave up everything. In a sense, he sold everything, and he valued Jesus more than his life. And he says that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, even his life, even his physical life, to gain what he could never, or to gain what he cannot lose. So who do you say Jesus is this morning? This is the most important question that you will ask. It's very personal. It's to you. It's not who do y'all say Jesus is. No, it is who do you say that Jesus is. Very personal. And it's very important that you answer that correctly according to the word of who the word reveals Jesus to be. And this is the lesson that Jesus teaches us today. Here's an ancient proverb. It says this, I hear and I forget. I see and I remember. I do and I understand. And I'm going to make one correction. In red, which is a little hard to see here, when you do, you understand, but I'm going to take it one more and you change. We talked about the groups of students, the rich young ruler, the disciples, and the third group of students is everyone in here this morning. It's me and it's you and Jesus, the greatest teacher. He teaches this lesson that his truth brings about a great reversal in our values. Will you listen? Will you learn? And will you change?